Hi, and welcome to the Facilitator M podcast brought to you by GP Connect. Thanks for listening in. Today's episode is hosted by myself, Luke Paraventi. I have been serving with Global Partners in Czech Republic and Central Europe for about 7 years with my wife, Kyla, and our three boys. And today I am joined by Matt Boyer. Hi, Matt.
Hey, it's a pleasure being here with you. And I'm sorry, I'm just trying not to laugh. So let me see if I can get through this introduction. My wife and I, Sarah, have been in Macedonia for 15 years. I have kind of stepped in the role of a financial coordinator for Europe. This is a topic that I love, and I appreciate you having me on today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that introduction. Yes, we are talking about something today. I would say it's probably something that everyone universally loves talking about, has zero stress in talking about, and that would be personal finances. Hopefully you can hear the sarcasm in my voice.
You were serious for a second. I was going to say my wife would disagree.
My wife and many of my friends would also disagree. So no, unfortunately, there is typically stress or just I don't want to talk about that with many people. So hopefully today's conversation, we can just kind of talk through some things about personal finances, kind of some of the heart about even behind personal finances. And hopefully whether you like personal finances, like budgeting, like some of those things, or even if you can't stand it, but hopefully we can show you the importance of it and maybe give you some tips of how to do that a little bit better.
Yeah.
So maybe we can start with that. Why is it important to pay attention to our finances? What's kind of the heart behind it? Why can't I just live my life kind of ignoring it and hoping that everything works out okay?
Right. So I would say, I mean, this would be true for everybody, not even just missionaries, even though there is kind of a specific missionary application that we'll probably get to. Man, finances touch everything in our life. I mean, everything. Before we got on, before we started this today, I just reminded myself by getting online on a couple ministry websites of how many verses God decided to put in the Bible to talk about finances. And the either finances or possession, well over 2,000, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,300 separate verses talk about either finances, or possessions. And I just think, like, it touches everything. We were just talking before we started on the podcast about how we're going through health problems. Man, finances are tied to that. Just this last year, we spent thousands of unexpected dollars. And because we were a little bit prepared, a whole lot more prepared than what we used to be, we could take that hit without it being a financial problem. So we could just deal with the health problem as opposed to dealing with the financial added stress, I guess, that you could say.
So,
I mean, when it comes to finances, it's not that you do them or you don't do them. It's either you do them on purpose or you don't do them on purpose. So what we'll talk about today just really is how to get better, I think, of doing personal finances on purpose.
Yeah, I think that's a great starting point. And even just realizing that, yes, finances, even in God's eyes, are, if not important, at the very least, they touch a lot of different things. And we can sometimes think it's a modern problem, or that, you know, it's something that only us in the technological age need to think about. But clearly not. Clearly for thousands of years, civilization has needed to work on that. And God has given us guidance and wisdom in doing that well. I think even for our positions personally, you know, there's fundraising, there's ministry expenses that we're trying to do. I think we are very attuned to knowing that we need money to do the work that God has called us to do. And that is that is a reality that we have to deal with. And exactly, I think we have to do better. So, and we can do better on purpose.
Yeah, for real.
Cool. Well, so let's assume that I am someone who's like, okay, sure, I need to start doing finances. I've been doing finances kind of just accidentally or passively or haphazardly, but I today want to start doing that a little bit better. Where is a place to start? Where's kind of a, what's like a 101 in trying to just get your personal finances under control?
Well, that's a good question. So let me tell you, is it okay if I tell you two stories?
Two stories is our limit. So that's totally
all right. Fine. Sounds good. So when we first moved to Macedonia, by that point in time, I had listened to a guy by the name of Larry Burkett for a couple of years. And I, you know, I thought I had personal finance down. By that point in time, we had only had student loans left. I paid off all my stupid credit card debt already. But we moved to Macedonia, and we had a relatively low American salary in the country of Macedonia, which is a dream salary for people living here, right? And we would get to the end of every month, and I would be pulling money out of savings because we just spent all of our money. We not only weren't saving money, we were spending more than what we were making on a regular basis. And I had made a spreadsheet. I love spreadsheets, but my spreadsheet had a hole in it. And here, the hole was this: it would get to the end of the month, it would show a negative number, and I had a reset button that would just make it all look okay again. The problem was that that fixed the spreadsheet, but it didn't fix the real life that the spreadsheet was trying to show me, right?
Sounds like a problem with the user of the spreadsheet more than the
Yes,
spreadsheet itself.
user error for sure. And I remember slowly coming to the realization, and it wasn't until here in Macedonia, that I am obviously not as good about finances as I thought I was. And this is after paying off credit card debt. This is after listening to Larry Burkett, which was kind of like the forerunner to Dave Ramsey. So that realization was one part. At almost the same time, this was in maybe the second year that we were here in Macedonia, first, second year, we had a few friends that left the mission field and headed back to the States. And they headed back to no house, no car, no beds, no furniture, no nothing, and no designated savings, with the expectation that they would ever need that because they were ever going back to America. And those were, from a distance, with our interactions, we could tell that those were very stressful returns. And it kind of caught me from two sides. Like, number one, I'm not as good at my day-to-day finances as I thought I was. And number two, was kind of an eye-opening experience of there are things that I need to be planning for that I never thought that I needed to plan for. And I think when it comes to personal finances, there's kind of there's two there's personal finance is great because it's like Dave Ramsey would say, it's like 90% personal, it's 10% math, right? So that's good news, bad news. But you've got the one side where, let's call it a budget, where you control what you're doing with money, and then you've got your other side. That's your plan of where you want to go. It's kind of like the roadmap where you want to go at. You know, the budget would be the gas pedal and the brake and the steering wheel, and the map is the plan that you have. And some people do well with a budget, but they don't really have goals, and they're not preparing for this return back to the States someday. They may not be preparing for retirement well. And we're, especially as missionaries, we're in a, you know, we feel when we go back to the States and we stay in our friends' homes that we are not where our fellow students in college now are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've got cars, a lot of them are paid for. They've got houses that they're either paid off or, you know, they're slowly paying off. You know, we just don't have any of that. And we, unless we do something on purpose, we fall further and further behind, not from a comparison standpoint, but preparedness standpoint of like that day is coming, and it will either catch us by surprise, which it shouldn't because we know it's coming, or it can be a transition that doesn't have to be a financially crushing transition. It's just a life-changing transition when we go back to the States, because that'll be hard enough. You know, I'd rather have that than also being worried about finances at the same time. So back to your question, like, how can we get better? Some, you know, doing stuff with money on purpose, which is like a budget where you tell your money where to go before it actually leaves. And I'll say, like, people will say, either I make too much or I make too little, for a budget to be worth it. And both those are kind of crazy excuses. You either have a plan and you execute it, or you don't have a plan. And it's okay if you don't have a plan, but just know you're going to pay the price, you know, in the future for that. And then the second part is, what are you doing on purpose? Like, where are you at right now? What are the goals that you want to hit in the future? And the budget helps drive you to the places that you want to be eventually.
Yeah, I really like that image that you had of kind of thinking of a car of, okay, so a budget is you being in the driver's seat, having the pedals that you're using, having the steering wheel, and just being good at controlling all of those doesn't technically make you a good driver or even get the car to where you want it to go. Yes, that's an aspect of it, but you also need to know, where is the car going? What's my final
Right.
destination? How do I want to get there, well, or in a safe way? So I think that's a
Totally.
really good image. Yeah. So maybe what we can start with, even just thinking about budgeting in terms of, okay, so the gas pedal, the things that are going to control my day-to-day of saying where my money's going to go. Are there any, do you have any apps, any programs, any things or tips that you have found to be helpful of like, okay, I want to have a budget and I want to set it right. Yes, that's a lot on me and personally and doing that well. But if I want to plan for that, if I don't like spreadsheets, because I'm imagining if people are saying I don't like finances, they most likely don't like spreadsheets either. So any tips or any ideas for them?
So, golly jeepers. I would say when you're talking about the budgeting side, just the super basic side, and some people still use this, is just envelopes with cash. And that's a little bit weird for us in Macedonia, and maybe it's weird for other people, on their mission fields. We don't use that, but we do use an electronic envelope system that's in app form. We use something called youneedabudget.com or YNAB, YNAB.com. And it was life-changing for us when we started using that, because what it did was it attached, instead of my spreadsheet that was fictional, and there's this big gap between my spreadsheet and real life, using this app attached our bank accounts with my budget. So at the end of the month, when I was $300 short, there was no reset button that I could fix the screen with. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you have $300 less for next month now.
And that carries
And
over. That you're there's no way
yeah,
of getting rid of that.
and that was super helpful for us. And then also, apps like that, you need a budget. There's also goodbudget.com. YNAB, you need a budget, works better if you're trying to sync with banks. Like, we just pay everything with the card now, because that way we don't miss any transactions syncing with our budgeting app. But both of those are great, like really great, in the sense that almost everybody that I've talked with either thinks they don't need a budget, or they think that they're doing pretty well before they actually use a system like this. But you can tell if you're using a budget by telling me, okay, how much did you expect to spend on groceries down to the penny last month? And how much did you spend down to the penny? You don't know that. That's okay, but you're not really using a budget. And that's where I was using the spreadsheet, thinking that I was using a budget, but I was just playing with numbers on a screen.
And
But
resetting them at the end of
totally, totally. But yeah, there are multiple apps like that. You Need a Budget is one of the most highly rated, well known. And yeah, I would definitely recommend for someone who's trying to get started on the budget side. Actually, I would say in the past 2 years, I've helped get four people on that, and all four of them are very, very pleased. And one of them I was just talking with last week, I think on Saturday or Friday, and he's like, "So we've been doing this for 2 months, and my stress level went from like 90% to 10%." And it's just a matter of, I mean, obviously his financial picture didn't change that much. It's just a matter of, okay, now I'm driving a car, as opposed to the car going out of control and I don't even know where the steering wheel is.
Exactly.
So yeah, that can make a big difference, getting in control. Starting a system that makes it easy to drive the car, financially speaking.
Yeah, I think those systems are really good because essentially what they do is they just categorize your spending and allow you to say, okay, this is how much I think I'm going to spend on groceries. I think I'm going to spend on personal items. When we had a similar thing. I think we did You Need a Budget when Kyle and I got married. Oh, wow, about almost 10 years ago now. And I think there was a little bit of a learning curve there of like, okay, so for this like takeout, for like going out to restaurants or getting carry out or different things. We had an idea of how much we spent. And then after about 2 months, we realized, oh, wow, we actually spend way more than we thought that we did on that. So even I think there's even kind of a self-reflection that's involved with that of you might
Absolutely.
think that you know how much you spend in this category, but until you have a physical envelope that's filled with cash and you have to take that cash out in order to spend it, or now with technology and a lot of people using bank cards, there's so many apps that do that well and can even automatically synchronize. Until you see that money going out that you're spending on that category, it's really hard to know. Like you
Yeah.
have to have some pretty significant self-awareness or already have a pretty financial brain to be able to recognize this is how much I know I'm spending on groceries, on going out to eat, on these various other things. So super
Right.
helpful.
Yeah, we would, before we started using a system like this, Sarah would be like, so I'd be like, let's just go out to eat. She's like, do we have money to go out to eat? And I would be thinking, we've got at least $2,000 in our checking account. So that means yes.
We physically have the money, so we have to have it, right? I mean,
Without, once you have an envelope-based system for budgeting, be that on an app or a real envelope, all of that money was needed to pay bills that were right around the corner, right? So when I turned the corner, I didn't have the money to pay the bills, and that's why I was pulling money out of savings. But with an app like this, the question is, do we have money for this or for that? You're not looking at how much money you have total in your accounts. You're looking at that envelope. It's like, you know what? We budgeted $100 for going out to eat this month. We've got $60 left. We only got 10 days left. Sure, as opposed to, yeah, just pulling it out and who knows what, trying to figure out if you've got it or not got it.
Yeah, with no second thought about other expenses that are going to
Yes.
come in that you know are coming. Yeah.
Or even if you try to think about it, I mean, you don't have it all. You just, our brains don't work like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think if anybody has interested in this kind of system, I haven't used you need a budget in a while, but I at some point just searched envelope budgeting on any app store anywhere online, and you'll get tons of results. So for
Yes.
anybody that's listening, there's so many apps out there, and some of them are really like pretty looking and don't look like a spreadsheet. They do not look like financial apps. They look more like some look more like a video game. Others look more just like some kind of like cutesy little app that has different numbers on it. So they're very, very not intimidating. So there's definitely some good
For
ones
sure.
out there.
And I would even say if the last time you looked at you need a budget was 10 years ago, that was an interface over a spreadsheet. And that was hard at the time. And it is way different now. It is probably one of the more technical ones in the sense that you can do a lot with it.
Yeah,
You
very
can
powerful.
do not a lot with it, but the onboarding is way easier on all of these apps now than they were, 10 years ago, for sure.
And so
And
what about, or
I
go
would
ahead,
say we're
yeah.
probably going to transition away from this. For somebody who hasn't done a budget and they're getting ready to do a budget, it probably takes 3 months for the budget to feel like it's working for you. For the 3 months, it's going to feel like you're working for the and you're having to put a little bit of extra time into it. But after that, the budget, I mean, I would say in 80, 90% of the cases works for you. And you're super glad to have it, and it's making a difference in your life. So if you download one of these apps and you're like, ah, it's okay to feel for a little while, 3 months is probably what it's going to for it to be like, I'm in the groove and I'm super glad we made this decision, and we have control and we can see the difference it's making.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really good
Yeah.
point. Yeah, because even like I said earlier, that we thought we knew what our budget for going out to eat was, realized we're spending way more, and it took a couple months for that to kind of just almost kind of subconsciously be in my brain of like, okay, I know the budget. I know how much going out to eat costs. I know that basically we can go out this many times each month. And then that's just like a natural thought. I don't have to go back into my app and I have to check and see, okay, how much is there? There's a little bit more just comfortability of just kind of knowing those things because you've been looking at it for the past couple months. So that's a good
Yeah.
point that
Yeah.
there is an onboarding, a learning curve with all of that.
Yeah.
And so what about the other aspects? So, okay, that's really about like the day-to-day. You know exactly where your money is going. You know how you want to spend it. What about kind of where do I want my car to end up? What about the
Yeah.
looking towards the future or just looking for having a plan for my money and not like, okay, sure, I'm not losing more money than I'm gaining each month, but also I'm not preparing for anything. I'm not doing anything with that. It's just I'm not losing money. How would somebody do better at that aspect of it?
Sure. So, and I think that's extra important for us as missionaries because our if we were living in the States right now, by virtue of making decisions that the average American makes in the States, we would slowly be building equity, so to speak, in a home. We would be building equity, if you can say that, furniture that we buy and everything like that, we just don't have living overseas. So there's an added thing that we got to prepare for. Something I really like and is Dave Ramsey. He's come out with a simple, he's very much simplified, just super basic, quote unquote, financial planning. You could call it that. And he's got seven baby steps. And if you talk to a financial planner, you're going to get something really close to this. Some financial planners will give you as you know, just the steps to take. And the mentality is once you've got control of the car, there's kind of these seven destinations that you want to be driving your car through over get to, so to speak. And we can cover those if you want. They're not specific to Dave Ramsey. He has made them wildly popular. And if you're looking to stay motivated, he's got a podcast. I think they talk 3 hours a day,
Wow.
which is hilarious because there's not that many questions. They just all come in various forms, sizes with different colors and flavors attached. But it is super motivating to listen to him and be like, no, I'm still, when I get discouraged, I'm still on the right path, and I'm gonna knock out this baby step and then move to the next. But those are just simple. You want me to just touch on them?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. At least to
Okay.
give people just an idea of, okay, this is at least one thought process that people have in thinking about kind of the goal with their money.
So, like the first step is a super small emergency fund, and he recommends $1,000. And once you have an emergency fund, it's not you don't use it unless it's emergency. And Christmas isn't an emergency, emergency.
Expected things are typically not
Yes, if
emergencies.
you know something's on the horizon and it's coming down the pike, it's not an emergency. Emergencies are things you can't plan for. You have that set aside, you move on to paying off all of your debt except a house, if you own a house, like a house that you live in, a mortgage, not an investment property. So of course the idea is when you have a budget, you get control of your spending in such a way that you have margin left over in your paycheck that you can contribute to baby step number one. Okay, that's taken care of. Now I'm going to start contributing to baby step number two and pay off all of my debt. Baby step number three is to go back to the emergency fund and build that up to 3 to 6 months of monthly expenses. And the whole idea there is if something big happens, like our health issues last year, the health issues were a big issue. But it didn't turn into a financial issue. It did cost a lot of money, extra money that wasn't covered by insurance and stuff like that. But we had an emergency fund just for that reason, so that we could just focus on the health and we didn't have to flip out wondering, how we're going to pay off this credit card debt now, because that stinks. I mean, after I've been there, but that just adds, that's like a compounding effect to the hardness of life. So so step three is bump up your emergency fund. Step four is to save 15% of your income into retirement. So by the time you get to step four, your first three steps are done, right? You're not contributing to those anymore. And so 15% of what your take home pay is gets allocated to retirement. If you have more than 15% of your paycheck available, to do something with besides what you budgeted for already, baby step five is to save for college at the same time. So you don't stop your retirement savings to save for college. You do that on top of, but you don't move on to saving for college, which is baby step five, unless you have 15% every month going to retirement. And then one step beyond that is paying off your house early. So whatever you're doing college kids wise, and I realize we're on GP salary here, so I don't think a lot of people are going to be on GP salary hitting baby step six, paying off their house early, but these are just the natural progressions of steps. And then seven is purposefully building wealth and being unusually generous with the money that quote unquote wealth throws off. So that's the idea. And as us being missionaries, this emergency fund, this baby step 3 to 6 months, might need to be twice that if you wanted to say, wait, when we go back to the States, I really don't want to live in my family's basement trying to borrow their car while we figure out what's going on. Because that is something on the horizon that is coming for most of us, unless Jesus comes early, which right now I think would be great. But every generation has thought that. And every generation still needs to plan for the future. You know. So you have on the one side, getting control of your month to month, so that on the other side, you can execute these bigger things that are really important. Your future you is a really important person, and he will either appreciate what you've done today or really wish that you did something different.
That's funny that you say that, 'cause I oftentimes tell myself, oh, future Luke can figure that out. That's like, he's really smart. He's really skilled. He'll know what to do. 'Cause me right now, I don't want to deal with it. So, but
That's
there
hilarious.
is a coworker of ours, Bryn, once said that it was, I forgot how she worded it. She had heard it from somewhere else, but it's almost like being like nice to your future self, that it's like your future self is a person. Like you in the future is a person. And if you want to be nice to that person, just like you want to be nice to anybody else, then there's financial things that you need want to question and figure out, and in order to be loving and generous to your future
Oh,
self.
yeah.
So that's a good
Yeah,
point.
for real.
And I think those are definitely some specific seven steps, but I think they give really good ideas. Like, sure, the
So,
reality is a lot of us maybe don't own a house or have these different things that fit with that st those steps, but at the same time, those are really good things to think through of, okay, so I'm thinking to the future. What are some of those things? Maybe it's not a house, but what are other things that are involved
right.
in that?
So you were asking earlier about if we were looking at budgeting apps on one side that would really that are super useful tools to get control of your finances on one side. There is a website on the other side that I love that you can use to invest in, or you can use just to build your financial picture, and they don't charge you anything for it. And that's called Wealthfront, .com. And you can literally put in, okay, so X number of years from now, like on our, they call it a path in our financial future, we're planning on going back to the States, and I'm planning on not working. I've plugged in there. I'm not working for 6 months. I've plugged in there. We expect to buy a 2 or 3 bedroom house in this zip code. You know, I've plugged in there. What I'd like to have is retirement. You know, I've plugged in there. We need to buy a car. And then it comes back and tells you how realistic each of those items are. And what you need to be saving, what you need to be investing today on a monthly basis to be able to hit what you would like to happen in the future. So that's not budgeting from a day-to-day aspect, but it is, you can very easily take any and all of these steps that we just talked about. You know, we had Sabina's college in there. We did not pay for Sabina's college in its entirety because that was way out of the realm of what was realistic. But because it was part of our financial picture, it was like, we'd like to do at least this amount. So we plug that in. And that is a crazy useful tool to tell you, okay, are you doing okay? Or is your financial house on fire? Or like you haven't passed go yet? You know what I'm saying? Because those are things you really want to know now rather than, you know, 10, 20 years from now.
And realize that this goal that I had was actually completely unrealistic the whole time.
Totally, totally. Like, and it's, you know, obviously it's not guaranteed, but they do have super conservative outlooks. If you're a GP missionary, you can tie your, you can sync your retirement savings at principal, and it will pull that information and do forward projections to give you an idea of, okay, you know, here's approximately where you're going to be at. If you really want to be at this level, or if you really want to buy a house at that particular date, or whatever, you know, it's going to make recommendations that you can take or leave, but at least you know.
Exactly. That's really good. I think I s really see those two tied together, because you can almost work backwards and forwards at the same time and thinking like, okay, I know the end goal. I know where I want to go. I know where I want things to end up. I kind of know, of course, we can't know the future, but we can have some
Right.
predictions of knowing that these are going to be costs. There's going to be these medical things. And then at the same time, once we know what that requires, we can then look at our envelopes or our budget or whatever we have, and know, okay, so I need to put, we have an envelope for our emergency fund to say, like, okay, we can't raise $1,000 in a single month and say, okay, this is going to the emergency fund. That's an overtime thing. So there's an envelope that says, okay, each month we're putting this amount in, we're adding to that. And then you can kind of work towards those steps to know or to move towards that end goal that you want. And there's apps that really help to be able to calculate that out that you don't need a spreadsheet for. You just input the information and then it does the calculation for you to say, okay,
And
then
the,
it.
and there's a and there's a massive amount of calculations that go into those projections. Just like there's a massive amount of information that goes into a GPS that tells you where you want to go. But it's a super simple picture that tells you where you want to go. And just by using a tool like that means that my wife and I don't fight anymore in the car on the way to somewhere new in Europe. And just like using a financial tool like this, we just literally don't have any arguments ever about finances, because we both know where we want to go and we're just doing the best we can to get there. But at least we're informed and agree on where we want to go and have a good picture of where we are on a day-to-day basis of what we're doing. Are we doing what we need to do to, in the meantime, to arrive there?
And informed by really credible sources about things that are really trying to do well with the information that you're giving them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really good. Those are all really good points. I think maybe kind of as we get to the end of our conversation, even thinking maybe going back to the heart a little bit of okay, this I think this is all super helpful. Maybe even before that, do you have any last tips or anything, last things that you want to say practically, kind of in thinking of the practical side of things?
I don't, I guess. If very often we marry somebody who is our opposite in a lot of ways, and it's pretty normal to have somebody who is kind of more of a nerd. I would be more of a nerd, but I'm also a spender, which is a little bit ironic. So if there was one person in the couple that really got this and enjoyed doing it, like let them do it, but let it be l let there still be discussions of where we want to go, and it's okay for one person to drive the car. As long as you both set the GPS, so to speak, together, as long as you've agreed as far as the destination, that's 100% okay. You don't have to have equal participation. You just have to have equal buy-in.
Equal amount of conversation to know this is where we want to end up because
Yeah.
that's really important to be on the same page with that.
For sure. Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Besides that, yeah, I don't think so. I don't, yeah, I would, those two big things though are just big. Getting control down and figuring out what your destination is. And it's super easy to say, I've got it, generally speaking, on both those things. And in reality, we don't have a clue. And that's just where I found myself after years of listening and making my own budget and even selling spreadsheets on eBay. I sold them for $7 each, these budgets. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I'm obviously not as good as I thought I was. So,
Spreadsheets aren't enough, unfortunately. There's more to it.
yeah,
Much to every nerd's dismay that
that's
if
right.
only spreadsheets could solve every problem. Cool. So that's all super helpful practically. And I think at any stage, whether you are, okay, so I'm managing things, I have like my daily budget set, but maybe I'm not thinking towards the future, some good resources for that. Or,
Right.
oh, I'm doing all of this kind of just things are happening. I don't know what my budget is. Looking at envelopes or looking at some kind of budgeting system could be a really good first step. But maybe kind of going back to the beginning of the conversation and just thinking of the importance of it and thinking of the heart of it. And this maybe isn't a universal answer. This maybe is just a personal answer for you and kind of imagining all this. But even, okay, thinking about the Bible and there's so many verses about finances, about possessions. Just one that came to mind was thinking it was therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I think maybe my question, just to kind of wrap this up, is what is the balance between trusting God of saying like, okay, God is ultimately in control, but also balancing, but we also want to steward the resources that God has given us. Because sometimes those can kind of be and a little bit of conflict of if we're planning for every single circumstance, if we're worried about it, if we're constantly thinking about, okay, what is the future? How am I going to prepare for it? We're losing that trust and we're losing that humility to say, God, this is in your hands. And yet it's also pretty clear, you know, there's 2,000 verses about finances. God wants us to do well with the things that we have. He's given us things in order to use them responsibly and well. So what is, how have you found balance in that of just trusting God, but also stewarding well?
So, yeah, that's a really good question. And I guess there's a couple aspects. I would say the first is doing something on purpose with what we already have is not taking away from God. Refusing to do something on purpose with what God has given us, I would say it falls in the realm of irresponsible at best. So we're not like this discussion hasn't hinged at all about how to get rich quick or how to stop being a missionary to be a payday lender. I could definitely see some problem areas in that, but really what we're talking about is how do we steward well something that God has given us for a short period of time. And the reality is, if I say to myself, I feel bad about making these decisions because I feel like I'm somehow taking away from God's sovereignty or something like that, then in essence, what I'm saying is I'm going to let my daily emotions and whatever my stomach tells me, I'm going to let that be the driver of how I make my financial decisions. And I would say that's a really bad place to be. I mean, just talking about the verse that you mentioned right there, I remember when two places actually I remember in our financial journey. One was when we actually started this process and we figured out, oh my gosh, okay, now our budget's tied to reality. My stress level went from like 95 financial stress down to 10. And I'm serious, that jump. It wasn't because there was a lot of changes that happened. It was because all of a sudden I started doing things on purpose. So that was an easy way for me to practice not worrying, number one. I remember the second time when we got fully out of debt and our emergency fund started bumping up, and then we finally capped our emergency fund at what it needed to be at. And there was even less stress, financial stress, because and I would say it's because when we put into practice a lot of God's principles, especially when it comes to finances, peace is something that naturally happens. Will it always happen? No, it won't always happen. But principally, when we follow God in just about any area of our lives, peace is one of the things that we get to benefit from, the feeling that we get to benefit from. Can you over look at finances? Yeah, you can over And that's true whether we're broke or in debt or we have a million or what, So there's a balance, but I don't think that our decision to do things on purpose with our money actually plays into that at all. We can be unhealthy with money whether we make decisions on purpose or not on purpose. We can have a sinful attitude towards money, in either of those camps for sure.
I think that's helpful, and hopefully for people listening that is helpful, because I think for some people the stress of finances does come from that, of not wanting to, they don't want to have to try and take things out of God's hand. And yet I think there is stewarding well can bring the peace that God is offering us, and that I think there is ways to do that within his realm,
Yeah,
and that
for sure.
it's so much more about the heart. Because I think even so, pretty early in our marriage, when we were still figuring out budgeting, there wasn't this kind of buffer space in our kind of earning or in our budget, that basically every month was whatever we were making, we were basically spending. And that meant that we weren't saving. That meant a lot of other practical things, but it also meant that we didn't have the ability to be generous with what we had. That, yes, we could have sacrificed a lot of different payments, but that would have meant a lot of different other consequences. That being smarter with our money meant that buffer space, we could have an envelope to say, this is giving. Like, this is, we're putting in this much money so that when there's a need, when there's a problem that arises, we're ready. We can sacrifice this and say, this was not our buffer money to begin with. This was in God's hands. And that was allowed because of the budgeting, which otherwise would not have been really possible for us.
So we have that's funny. We have kind of a giving category and then different envelopes inside the giving category. And I remember reading a book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn, where he talks about that giving 10% the tithe really is like training wheels for generosity. So it's not something you arrive at. It's something that you start giving 10% to the church, and that is teaching you to be generous. And over time, after implementing a lot of these principles that we find in God's word, our generosity has continued to grow. And some of the most fun ways that we give is that like unallocated giving envelope that we don't know what it's going to be for, but it's really fun when the time comes where we can give in unexpected ways as outside of our normal giving. And that's something we did not have, before we got our ducks in a row. And it's something we wouldn't have, like you were talking about. We didn't have, because we weren't driving the car on purpose, we didn't have any margin to be even adding something like that to a giving
Exactly.
envelope. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the heart behind it is really important of yes, all of this is important. I think we've seen the importance, but if the heart is a comparison game of wanting to make sure that I'm catching up and staying up with my peers, or and even just thinking that in my finances I have ultimate security, we know
Oh,
that
yeah.
those things will never happen. And yet, if it's I want to steward well because I want to be generous, I want to do well with the things that God has given me, then I think there is a lot of fruit in that from God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I go back to the parable of where Jesus or God, that's represented in the parable, gives different amounts of money to different people, and they're rewarded based off of what they did with the money. And of course, there's spiritual implications to that. But the money that God has given us, like every day in our paycheck, even if we didn't work for GP, that's not really ours. We're here for a very short period of time. Everything on a thousand hills belongs to God, especially me as a follower of Jesus. So I am literally a steward of his money. Do that on purpose, or do I wait to see what my stomach's going to tell me when I'm walking downtown and walking by a place that I love to eat at,
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah, that I think that that's a really good point that God rewards the one who does something with what he has given and is not so happy with the one who puts it in the
Yeah.
ground or who just says, I have no plan because I don't know what to do with this. So, yeah, that's a really,
You'll
really good point.
notice there was no financial advice that we talked about today that involved a shovel or a backyard. So,
Hopefully, we're doing something right.
yeah.
Cool. Well, Matt, I really appreciate it. I hope that as people are listening to this, that it can calm some of those nerves. It can give a little bit more clarity to kind of the path that's ahead. I just keep coming back to that image that I think it's whether it's clarity of I don't even know where the steering wheel is. How do I kind of get this car under control? Or it's okay, I'm budgeting well, but how do I look forward? How do I plan for abundant generosity? How do I plan for the things in my future that I know are coming? Those are all, I think, really important questions and decisions to be making right now. So, really appreciate it. Thanks for your advice, your wisdom.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been. So, thanks everybody for listening in. Tune in next time to whatever the next discussion is, and we appreciate you being here today. So, thanks.